Broadcasting live from Studio E here down here in Central Florida. I'm your host, Steve Elkins, and this is Off the Beaten Path. Today's date is November 5th, 2023. It's been a full week of news and sound bites and news that is being passed off as real news, much of which I would call the fake news. Time to be vocal is now. Silence is implied consent. Go to our website for resource articles and share them with others, republicbroadcasting.org. My email address is offthebeatenpathsteve@gmail.com, and our call-in number is 512-248-8252. Well, we are at that point in time here, the 5th of November 2023. I will remind you, today is the second anniversary of the passing of John Stadmiller, passed away on this date. In 2021, I miss my good friend. And tonight's show is going to be dedicated to John Stadmiller in his memory. We are continuing on here at RBN. We are going to grow. We're going to reach more people. And that's going to come from you, thank God, that you're going to have to help us in this mission to reach other people. We can give you the information. And it's nice to share the information, not just keep it to yourself. So, We're in this for the long run. I'm in this for the long run. I look back, and I have to be very, very thankful for John Stadmiller coming into my life. It's interesting how it all turned out. I guess if you listen long enough to this network, you know I called in as a caller quite frequently to Mike Rivera's show, and I called into John Stadmiller's show. And there was a show I remember John talking about starting locally, doing your best locally, and try to branch out a little further. And I thought, wow, what an opportunity here. And I looked in the paper one day in Central California, small little community radio station in Guerneville, California, which is San Francisco's playground, if you know what I mean. Very different place. And there was an opportunity to possibly go there and do some music, a jazz show, which I ended up doing. But I branched out a little further than that. I thought, you know what? John said start local and try to branch outwards. And that's exactly what I will try to do. So I bring the idea to the program director of the station. So I want to do a political show. And they kind of looked at me kind of funny at first. And they said, okay. And I said, I'll cover the issues, local, worldwide, everything national, and give a perspective and give information and, am I going to be confrontational? Am I going to be one of those kind of guys that makes trouble? No. I just want to bring you the information. Things that you're not getting through the mainstream media, I think I have a duty, personal duty myself. My goal was to bring you the information you're not hearing from the mainstream media. So I said, you know, that's something I could do. See if I can open up a few eyes, open a few doors, and get some people talking, at least talking about the issues. That's the whole deal, to get people talking, discussing, sharing information. That's not encouraged in the mainstream media. But that was going to be my focus, to bring you issues and talk about. And I bring in a guest host here and there, and we go around the round table and kick things around and open up new doors and new ideas and share information. I did that for a total of 8 weeks. The show was called Outside the Matrix 2.0. 2.0. Why 2.0? Well, because 1.0 is a starting point. I think we can go beyond the starting point and go to 2.0. It also makes some good conversation also. Why 2.0? Because I wanted to look farther beyond the 1.0 viewpoint. So I decided to call it 2.0 and dig a little deeper into the issues, the subject matter. Went great. I went great for 8 weeks. And 8 weeks, I would it was a great time. 8 weeks of kicking things around, a co-host, call-ins. It was great. The feedback was coming in through the station saying, "Hey, you're getting some great numbers here. People are very interested in what you have to say." Getting emails saying, "I have never heard anybody talk like this before. I can't believe you're even discussing it, but I'm glad you are. It's worthy of conversation, and it's nice. It's refreshing." It's not this mainstream media scripted show, basically. It's you come in fresh and you open up doors, and we're talking about issues, and that's what we want to do. So I think I got a warning on show number 7th, after the 7th show. I got a warning. A call at home and said, hey, you know, you're going down a pathway here. The board of this radio station are kind of coming at me now and saying, hey, I think he's going a little too far. Reel him in a little bit. Reel him in. And did I reel it in? If anything, I ramped it up. On show number 8, I ramped it up. I even brought in one of Alex Jones's guys. We had a round table, 3 people. We were hitting the issues. I was talking about election fraud even back then. I think that was in 2014, 15, I think it was the show. And we were already talking about election fraud. Yeah, this is because the 2016 election would be the next one coming up with Trump and Hillary. So it was 2015 show. And they didn't like it. Board members were listening. At least one board member was calling the other board members saying, listen into the show. Didn't like what I have to bring to the table, because I'd actually had a video clip, audio I played of a computer programmer down here in Florida somewhere, in Tallahassee, I believe he was testifying before in Tallahassee for the legislature, telling how he was contracted to create a computer program that would flip elections. I thought, wow, this is amazing. So they can do this. So your computerized voting and all that stuff, online stuff, it's not safe. If your banking is not safe, do you think this stuff is safe? No. So I played this clip. Man, did I really have people calling up and said, I had never thought of this. I didn't know this was going on. So your elections are rigged to a point they can be rigged and overturned. And so your vote really doesn't count anymore. And I had a call on that show of a woman who did not identify herself. She was trying to set me up. Turned out to be a board member, which doesn't matter to me. I'd still say the same things I said that night if I knew she was a board member, because she wanted to be a gatekeeper to the information. And I don't like gatekeepers. I don't like them because they have an agenda. That's only I can say, they have an agenda. So I even called her out. Along with my other couple hosts there, we called her as a gatekeeper and said, so you want to keep the information from me from getting out there. You don't be talking about this computer programmer that rigs, you know, makes software to flip elections. You don't want me to talk about it? Why not? Well, it's political. Yes, it is political. Don't you want your vote to count? Oh, so you have a little agenda here. So I really ruffled some feathers that night, and I left that station just saying, we kicked ass. I enjoyed it, but I am expecting a call. And I got a call pretty much as soon as I got home. Show is ended. You're done. You're not going to do this show anymore. Okay, that's fine. Because I'm not going to dial it back. I'm not going to be censured. I'm not going to be censured. No way. To me, censorship is definitely points out there's an agenda at stake here. Somebody wants to hide the truth. They want to hide the facts. They want to hide the evidence. And they don't want you thinking. They don't want you knowing about these things. So what reason, you know, why would they want to keep this stuff hidden from you? Because they have an agenda. That's my job. So I left there, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do next? What am I going to do next? And again, I was calling John's show once in a while here. And I said, well, I took your advice. I started the show. We did really good for 8 weeks, and I got canned. It got canned. Yeah, I told him the whole scenario, what happened. And he was interested. He said, do you have any archives? I said, yeah, I got archives. They're still up. They haven't taken them down yet. So you got 8 weeks. You even had the last show, the fun one, to look through and listen to if you want to. That's great. I had no idea that John was thinking of possibly adding me to the roster here at RBN, and I didn't even think about that. I just thought he was interested in what I was talking about. And I think he was a little flattered that I took a suggestion to start something locally here and see if I could branch out. Even though it was phased out in 8 weeks, I did my best to bring attention to some issues. And then came an opportunity. I thought to myself, would it work? If I got to know Ron McDonald and pretty well, and I started thinking, you know, why can't we do a threesome on a Monday? Well, you know, to kind of break me in a little bit, maybe possibly somewhere down the line, maybe I can get a spot, but I wasn't counting on it. Ron thought it was a great idea. And we did the introductions, and I to John, and we talked a little bit. He didn't think at first that'd be a good idea. Then a little later, he started thinking about it. He gives me a call, and this was the make it or break it situation. How would you like to host my show tonight, the National Intel Report? Are you serious? Yeah. Well, I've got a couple hours to go here. I can get some information. Yeah, I'll do the show. And just right on the spot, I was put on the spot to do the show, and I did it. And I had a really good guest on that night, I think 1 or 2 hours. I can't remember if I had one for two, but we're talking about electromagnetic frequency and the health issues of 5G and 4G. And it was a good show. And John called me that night and said, yeah, I listened to the show. And you blew me away. I really enjoyed the conversation you had with your guest about this technology and the health harm. So I was good. I did a good show the first time. And beyond that, I didn't know what else would happen out of it. Turns around, John said, well, join us on a Monday. You and I and Ron. Sounds great. Sounds fun. So we worked together. And at some point in time, he says, you handle yourself pretty well. And I did like your work for the archives for your own show in Central California. So how would you like to have your own show? Listen, that sounds fun. We could do that. I think we could do that. That's the branching out phase of what I wanted to do. So sure, let's do it. Just let me get relocated here because I am moving down to Florida. And let me get relocated and we'll do a show. And so we did that. I went out to Round Rock. I drove through Round Rock, Texas, and then head on out to Florida. I stayed a couple of days with John. And we did a couple shows together in the studios at Round Rock, and it was a lot of fun. And those are memories that I really hold dear in my heart, to look across from John and to converse back and forth, go back and forth. And in commercial time, he'd be laughing his ass off. He'd be laughing about this. Okay, we're coming back now. And we had a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And we ended up getting a little closer than just him being the owner of the network and me just being a host, that we talked a lot on the phone at nighttime. We talked about issues. We should have recorded them because we actually had a show. And then he says, hey, I'm going to come down. I want to come down and see you. Okay, come on down. He came on down to Florida, stayed a week with us at our house, and we just ventured around, had fun out to dinner and just hanging out doing stuff. And that kind of sealed it for us. I think we became much closer as beyond friends. I think we got even close, more personal than that. He ended up becoming a brother to me, kind of a big brother. He's a few years older than me, but a big brother to me. And that's something I was lacking in my life, a big brother. I didn't have one, really. So it was nice. We can converse and talk. We could agree. We could disagree. And, you know, it could get heated. It was fun. We could get heated. And I told John, if you want Ed McMahon, you got the wrong guy, man, because I've got opinions, I got viewpoints, and you know, we agreed, we disagreed, but we disagreed with respect. And if he was angry about something and he hung up on me, he'd call me back in a couple hours the next day and said, hey, I thought about what you said, and you're right. Okay, cool. We all cool? Yeah, we're all cool. No problems here. So, I thank him for allowing me to believing in me and allowing me to come on this network and discuss the issues with you every Sunday and Monday. I do appreciate that. I know you a lot, John. And I hope you're smiling down on us as we continue forward. By the way, the National Intel Report will be retired at some point. I don't know when exactly, but when it is retired, it will be retired, and I will let you know the date. I will have to reschedule and do some recording, which is kind of good. It throws me into a different pathway here of technology that I get to learn something else new. And I will be recording most likely the Harley Schlanger interviews and playing them on either probably a Sunday on the first hour. And so I'm still looking forward to doing interviews with Harley Schlanger. Good guy, smart guy, love him. So we're going to do that. And that's pretty much it. I do want to give you some information here before the break comes up here. We are doing the second annual book drive from John's personal library, law library, political library, everything he's got in his library. He's got a lot more books to go. I didn't realize he had this many books, but he does. And so for $100 or more, your hat goes into a drawing, and the drawing will be tonight in the second hour. And I will reveal the winner of this week's book. This week's book is called By Way of Deception, The Making and Unmasking of a Mossad Officer. And again, this is coming from John Stadmiller's personal book collection here. So you got a chance to win it tonight. $100 down gets you an opportunity, $100 or more. And you get your hat, your name thrown in the hat here. And second hour, I will tell you who won that book. On the website is more information about this book drive we're doing here. It's a nice picture of John, by the way. And it's different than the one in my office. I'm going to say chop off 10 years. And that's the picture on the internet of John. I've got one probably in his 50s, early 50s. I'd say he's 40-ish, probably, in the picture on the internet there. So it's a nice picture of him. And we're going to be doing a new book every Monday, revealing the new book every Monday. And the drawing is on Sunday, second hour. So I'll let you know more about that. And if you lose, well, don't worry. Your hat still goes in the your ticket, your pledge, whatever, still goes in the hat for the next drawing, for the next week. So you're still in the running for a book. So just keep hang tight, cross your fingers. You're gonna get one sooner or later. You're gonna win one. Again, the show tonight is dedicated to John Stadmiller, and we are going forward. We are going forward. Looking forward to going into other areas, uncharted waters, I guess. There's a lot of stuff going on right now. It's strange that my mother's 88 years old. She listens to the show Mondays and Sundays, and she's very political now, more political than she's probably ever been. And she's seen a turn for the worse in this country. Now, she came from a pretty hard childhood, living in East Germany, escaping from the East to the West. Eventually, after the war, 10 years or so after the war, got a chance to come to America. And she came here to America, became an American, took English classes, learned a lot of English from watching soap operas. And she did her part to become a true citizen of this nation. But she saw what happened in Germany, the communism, the Marxist, trailing you wherever you went. Where are your papers? Where are you going? Who are you going to go see? And she's seeing now the trend. I told her about this before, unfortunately, at 88 years old. Mom, I'm afraid you're going back. Your final years are going back to communism if we don't stop it. And she agreed. Stay tuned, more to come.
Have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
John's personal collection of books. We're going to be doing this from November 5th to January 7th. So, yeah, don't wait too long here. And put your donation down of $100 or more. See if you get a book from John. And I wish you good luck. Going back to real quick before we take our first caller here, talking about my mother being political now. She texted me. She says, "How did you know this stuff? How did you learn this stuff?" Well, I do a lot of reading. I have some good sources. I don't waste my time hardly with the mainstream media because it's all very much scripted and controlled, and we know who controls it. So no sense of wasting my time on that. I do check it out a little bit only because I have to see what lies they're throwing at us all the time, and so I can expose them and I can bring them to you. But other than that, I don't really waste a whole lot of time on the mainstream media. So, you know, again, getting the knowledge – finding the knowledge, discovering the knowledge, and sharing the knowledge, you have a duty to do that. If you don't, really, we're not going to grow. And we're going to be stuck with these evil people that are going to be reigning over our heads here. So you have to share the information. Expose the liars. Expose the lies that they bring to you. And, you know, some of them are so obvious, the lies they bring. It's so obvious and so lame. I'm going to talk about that a little bit here. I had a conversation a couple over the weekend with Dr. Peter McCullough on the SADS, the sudden adult death syndrome. And, you know, we need to challenge things. And when things don't sound right, we need to go dig a little further with it. And then when we do find the truth, we need to expose it. We need to tell a lot of people. You know, people, when they're happy, unfortunately, they tell very few people. But I've had a bad experience, they tell, you know, 5 or 6, 7 people of a bad experience. But we need to think of that on the good side. When you discover something, information, good stuff, you need to share that with a lot of people in order to get the movement to grow. So, you know, she asked me, I told her basically, I said, "Mom, you know, when I started out this, doing this in Central California, the objective was to grow, get a little bigger, go outside the margins of where I was in this small little town. And again, never thought I'd go, you know, far beyond. I didn't think that was a possibility, but it was, and I'm appreciative of that opportunity still. That, you know, we have so many liars in the mainstream media, and we have liars everywhere. And the last thing you need now is a liar on this network or in radio. So I am the real deal, whether you like it or not. You love me, you like me, whatever. Point is, I am the real deal. I make no claims to be a mental giant, but I am honest. I am honest. I am so damn honest, I could never work in government. If I were to be working in government, they would have to do Photoshop and get me in a situation here, compromising situation, to say, look, it's him. Look what he's doing. But that's pretty much it. I'm honest. I can live with myself. I sleep like a baby. I have no guilt of doing harm to anyone. And again, I am the real deal here. So again, love me, hate me, I'm honest. I am who I am. I don't make any bones. I don't try to portray myself in a different light of being something I am not. I lose my cool. Hey, we all lose our cool, don't we, sometimes? Sometimes we use off-color language. I have done that. I have done that. Have I done this network? I've stretched the boundaries a little bit. Never dropped the F-bomb. Never dropped the F-bomb. Boy, I've thought it. I've been angry, and I may have used other words that begin with an F, which is essentially saying the same thing, but it's being politically correct, I guess. Because I don't want to offend anybody, but yeah, I get angry. I get angry because I care. If I didn't care, nothing would bother me. Uneducated people don't have the stress of people who are intelligent. That's a fact. I like to think the reason I get worked up and angry about things is because I care. I love things. I want to go back to a time where I really enjoyed life. Every day now is kind of a crapshoot we have here. Every day is a crapshoot. What did they mess up today? What did they foul up today? I still remember as a little boy, 10 years old, at the dinner table, my father saying everything the government touches turns to, Mike Rivera would say, bovine excrement. I'll be politically correct now. I learned that at a very young age. He's absolutely correct. And it's still the same situation, even more so probably today. And they have a mainstream media to protect them, to hide the information, to BS you into some lame excuse of why this is happening. I don't know. It is what it is, and punches. But there are no promises. Let's take our first call tonight. Chance in West Virginia, you're on the show.
Yes. Well, I kind of like
I'll take you after the commercial break here. Hold on. Just hold on.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion.
Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
I guess y'all probably know by now, daylight savings is upon us again here. This ridiculous tradition continues as if we are still boiling down whale blubber. For lanterns, for lantern oil and street lamps, we continue on with this stupid tradition of turning the clocks backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. Ridiculous, totally ridiculous. Our first caller tonight, Chance in West Virginia. Hey, Chance, you've been on my mind because of the conversation we had last week.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, Steve-O, I got great news.
What's that?
I got the surgery 3 days ago.
Your cataract,
right? And I could see now. Yay.
Good. Very good.
Yep. It turned out it was very hard in texture, and it was severe. That's why I was totally blind in it. And guess what, Steve-O?
What's that?
The surgeon was Russian, and no, he didn't remove it with a hammer and sickle. You know, so
I thought about you last week when we had our little conversation. We had our conversation about Mr. Johnson. And,
Mike Johnson's the real Johnson.
You got to believe in Johnson. Trust your Johnson. And then the other day, I found a coffee mug in my collection here. I have a coffee mug collection, the collection of something. And it is Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. And I saw that and I started laughing. I said, Chance, I got to tell Chance about Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas.
Well, listen, Steve, I don't know if you could trust your Johnson, because every time I trusted mine, it got me in trouble.
Yeah, I think it's got a lot of our population in trouble. At least 50% of our population was thinking with Johnson and not the other head there, and made a mistake. I did the same. I made a mistake, young man, and I thought I knew that. I thought I knew everything. Jeez, what did I find out?
No, you can't trust the Johnson. You can't trust the Johnson.
No, you cannot trust the Johnson.
You know, I could see now. This is great, man. Let me tell you, I guess I'm good for another 12 months or 12,000 miles, whichever comes first.
Very good.
So I just figured I'd tell you that. Yep. It's amazing how you were thinking of that. That's what I wanted to tell you. Hey, and by the way,
so,
three songs.
So, you know, I actually worked in that area. I worked in that area and did a lot of those post-surgery procedures there, those procedures for the glaucoma. So they put that little ball on your eye and taped it on there, right, with a little something that puts some pressure band.
Yeah, and I had to sleep with it the first night. It was it had little holes in it, and they surgical tape it over your eye. And now I'm doing the eye drops, which half the time run down my cheek, but that's another story.
Yeah. Okay.
But, I could see. I couldn't see for 2 years, man. And
you gotta do those eye drops. Don't skip those. Stay with that schedule.
No, I know.
Okay. Very good. What else is on your mind tonight? Chance, anything else?
Oh, nothing much. There's so much crazy crap. You were talking about, I think, elections or something. You know, it's the same crap every year. You get your token evangelical Christian. You get your token black. You get your token foreigner.
Yep.
Your token neocon. Your token far leftist. It's just a mess, man. And people
I asked myself, you know, how long it took for Kevin McCarthy to become Speaker of the House? I mean, how many votes did they have? A third, fourth, fifth vote, quite a few votes. And he finally made some concessions and he gave something back to the Democrats in order to get the Speaker of the House position. I wonder what Johnson, what did he give up to the Democrats to get this job? Because he didn't have to go through half of what Kevin McCarthy did. So what did he end up giving back to the Democrats in order to get this position?
Well, Mike Johnson will probably turn out to be a limp Johnson. So don't put too much stock in him. So.
Well, I tell you what, they're going to have a heyday with him, aren't they? Just with the name alone.
I don't know if they're smart enough to pick up on it. They're only thinking about screwing us. They're not. I guess their joke's on us, though, Steve. Really.
Well, you know, it was funny that when Nixon was always Richard M. Nixon, and then when he screwed up and got in trouble here, then he became Dick Nixon. They started calling
him Tricky Dick too. Remember?
Yeah, Tricky Dick. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see what they
do.
We got Johnson.
Yay. Okay. Well, Steve, thanks for taking my call now.
All right. Hey, great to hear you. You're doing well with the surgery. Great to hear you.
Thank you now. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
Sounds good. All right. Open lines again, 512-248-8252. I want to share something with you. I like doing observation stuff, kind of like Jerry Seinfeld, but this is interesting because it has a point. So listen to the story. It has a point that my wife, I'm going to call this week's eye-opening experience, I'm going to call it the gnome incident. Well, what is a gnome? Well, a gnome is a little fictitious little character. It looks like an elf quite a bit, but it's got a long beard, and it supposedly brings you good luck. And my wife, in her hobbies, in her time off from work and stress reduction, she has a little shop, and she's making all kinds of this and that, and she does some charity work, but she's making a little village of gnomes, and she makes different kinds of gnomes for different events, and you name it. She's made it, and she got quite a collection. I said, you know, you did some really good work here. This is great stuff. And there was an opportunity at our local library to present different things, people who have collections of this and that. And I told the head librarian, I said, you know, my wife makes these gnomes. It's in her spare time. I gave her a couple pictures, showed some pictures on my phone. These are great. Would she like to put them in her display case? I said, I'm sure she would. And the whole idea is the display case is supposed to stimulate the kids to pick up a book and read a book. I highly encourage that. And so we went there one day, I think on a Saturday, we got the display case, we opened it up, we put all these different gnomes in there, a couple different levels. Quite a few. I mean, I'm surprised we could fit that many in there, but really nice. And of course, she puts a letter typed up, really nice and professional, the story, the history behind the gnome. Well, we get the display case for one whole month to encourage children to read about gnomes and things like that. And then I pick it up, take it down, and take it home, and they look for another display to put in the case. Well, I had an opportunity. She approached me at the library and approached me and asked me, would I be interested in putting something in the display case? What do you have? I said, well, I've got displays. I've got all kinds of things I clicked on the side. And I said, you know, I have a collection of beer steins, German beer steins from Germany, with castles and all kinds of different things on figurines on there. And I also have quite an extensive collection of bourbon decanters. There was a time back in the 60s and 70s, it was really popular to collect these bourbon decanters, whiskey decanters. And it's pretty much died off, but once in a while I'll find something kind of cool. And a lot of them are historic. They have a lot of history to them. And so I collect them. So I showed her pictures of them and the beer steins. Well, she kind of gave me that frown, the frown. Thought it wasn't a good idea to show beer steins and bourbon decanters to children. But she, I might make my point here, she missed a great opportunity here for education. Now, the display that was in the display case prior to my wife putting her gnomes in there was a teapot collection that was owned by the librarian herself. And some of them are okay. Yeah, some of them are kind of, well, that's okay. Yeah. And evidently, it's supposed to have you investigate or look further into tea itself, how tea was very much a part of early colonization. But she missed opportunities. She missed opportunities to talk about, let's talk about, hey, the Boston Tea Party. Taxation without representation. Throwing all this tea into the Boston Harbor because of taxes. Angry colonists leading it maybe to the Revolutionary War. You have an opportunity when you bring something like that to the table to go a little further with it and provide information and stimulate people to say, or kids to say, I didn't know much about that. I'm going to learn about that. I'm going to read about that because they're probably not getting it in their school system anyway. But she had an opportunity. There was nothing but other teapots. That's it. There's nothing else she could have included. She should have included, and she did not include. So my collection of bourbon decanters and my beer steins were frowned upon. But again, I would have presented this also with the history behind alcohol. I would have talked about prohibition. I would have talked about NASCAR racing, bootleggers, all part of liquor, alcohol. And not like alcohol is a bad, bad thing. I guarantee you the founding fathers, while they were sitting down, maybe even when they were penning the Constitution itself, probably had a cold brew. Beer was very natural. Actually, Benjamin Franklin. Beer is evidence that God loves us. That's actually said by Benjamin Franklin. And John Lewis Stevenson would say, wine is bottled poetry. But there's so many things I could have added and I would have done with my presentation, my display case of the beer steins and the whiskey decanters. Many of my whiskey decanters have a special theme. World War II, Pearl Harbor survivors. I've got all kinds of different for industry. I've got sports in there. I've got golf tournaments. I've got oil drilling in Houston. I've got gambling. I've got the makes. I've got everything you can think of. And there's a story to tell with each one of these decanters. It's not just holding whiskey, it's telling a story. And I've got a lot of great ones. You name it. Going back, I have a Winston Churchill bourbon decanter and his great speeches. You name it. Political, you name it, I've got it. And for some reason, it was just frowned upon. And she gave me that. Well, first she was all excited about it until I showed her the pictures. Then she says, we'll call you. Oh, I've heard that before. Don't call us. We'll call you. So I left there thinking, you know, no big deal. I don't have to waste my time here. And I certainly don't like prudes, first of all. I don't like prudes. But there's nothing wrong with my display case. It would be nothing wrong with presenting the beer steins or the decanters. Now, I'll tell you right now, I visit there probably once a week. If at some point in time this librarian decides to appease the LGBTQ and put in rainbow or anything dealing with that sexual choice I will have my little talk in her office, and I will let her know what I think. Because she said she didn't want this. One of my decanters was political. Two of them were political that were for parties. One was the donkey and one was the elephant, of course, the Republican and Democrat party. She didn't like that. I said, well, why? I'm not sure why. I looked at, I represent, it's both parties, the DNC, the RNC, we can't have that. What else you got? That was that kind of situation. And again, opportunities here, historic. Revolutionary War decanter I have, whiskey decanter. All kinds of nice things I have. And I guess she didn't like where it was going. The point in this conversation is people who have offices are considered to be important people. If you have an office, I guess depends how high up in the building it goes. You're really important when you're on the top. You get the greatest view. And the lower people are not as important. But if you have an office, you have some ability to make decisions. You should. Really, you're just a figurehead. And to me, I think she had an opportunity here to, I'm going to go with this. I don't see anything wrong with this. But she's worried about what others may think. Maybe she worries about a board or something. And is not willing to defend the education that could actually come from my display. So if that happens, she decides to go political and go LGBTQ and Pride Month and all this stuff in a display case, I'm going to have a little talk with her, and I'm going to point it out. You said you didn't want this and this because of political, and what are you doing now? You've got a whole display case on sexual orientation, sexual preference to children in a library. So don't give me that alcohol thing, the whiskey decanter things, is political and it's corrupting of children. Please don't go there. Please don't go there. I will chew you up with your display telling me about brainwashing children. Children are going to come in contact with beer and alcohol. I guarantee you. The sexual orientation thing, they all know about it. In time, they'll know all about this. But brainwashing and indoctrination using my tax dollars in a library is not going to go well with me. And you will hear from me. So there's my story of the week of my display case being turned down and my wife's gnome little village of ZZ Top looking dolls went really well, but mine didn't go over well. So I just thought I'd report that. Again, calling it out as you see it, call a spade a spade. I don't like hypocrisy, and I don't like people who have agendas. We'll see what happens here. Let's take our second call here tonight. Sherry in Kansas, you're on.
Hey, Steve. Well, I can sort of see the point if she's trying to attract young people to read because, that's the whole problem. Us older people, we read, which is why you go to the library. But, young people, they just watch media, But I remember reading that they generally had to put a ration of beer to attract people to, in like revolutionary days and stuff and before, to get them to come in the military. If they didn't have at least some beer every once in a while, they weren't going to stick around.
Yeah. Sherry, I'm looking at my list here. I was going to throw out this list of what I've got. Again, the Winston Churchill, the Iron Curtain speech, decanter, a clown decanter of Emmett Kelly, silent film star, being a clown. I had the Republican elephant, the Democrat elephant. I had the Continental Navy of 1776 to 1777, NASA, Indy 500, Pearl Harbor, a couple of wildlife ones, a military celebration from 1919 to 1969, the USS Arizona, the Golden Gate Bridge decanter, couple of casino ones, couple of horse racing ones,
the Houston oil drilling, the Manitowoc submarine, Operation Redfin, a Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox, a bunch of statehood ones, statehood decanters, my German steins, all castles, real decanters, steins, and glasses from the Kentucky Derby, a whole series, probably three dozen of those for each year. Lots of history, lots of plenty of reading here to learn about these decanters. At least you look at the decanters, you look at the steins, and if you had some inkling, you might say, you know, I don't know much about this Operation Redfin, this Manitowoc submarine. I think I'll read about this. Don't know much about it. And so it was. It would have been educational. I would have made a list of education to go along with what you see. But I won't ever get the chance. Because somebody who thinks they have power in a position, the librarian, evidently does not have power. She's beholden to somebody else. And here's a great opportunity for kids to learn about something in history.
Well,
and they're not going to get it.
It's the board. This is back 20 years ago during the build-up to the second Gulf War. Mm-hmm. I donated a book to a local library, High Priest of War by Michael Collins Piper.
Yeah.
Because I got several of them because, you know, I was really against that war. And they wouldn't even put it on the shelf. They put it on their, they have a bunch of books that they pulled because nobody's reading them. Mm-hmm. But they just put it on that shelf where for a quarter.
Yeah.
They would not put that book out. And that's the whole thing about, you know, the library board. Mm-hmm. She probably thought that the library board wouldn't approve that. But, you know, if it had been baseball cards or something else, they probably would have taken it.
Well, it's lacking vision. I looked at these historic ones that I have, and I would be curious to read more about this. And they could actually have more books by the displays. You could have a whole rack there, a small rack there, with books that pertain to what you may see in the display case. So, again, here's somebody who lacked the courage, I guess the word I was looking, lacking courage to make a decision and stand by that decision to say, this is an educational opportunity here. Look at all the different history we have in this display case now that kids can learn about. Oh, no, no. All I see is bourbon, drunk people, and people drinking beer, intoxicated. That's what I see. That's all I see. Well, you're lacking the vision. They're lacking the vision because I had a lot of history to share with these decanters and steins.
Yeah, and see, like medicine, when I was working as a carpenter, trim carpenter, we had a job to we remodeled a old pharmacy in this little town, and down in the basement he had stuff that, because I guess this guy's grandfather or maybe even his great grandfather had started this pharmacy, and down in the basement he had tincture medicines. Mm-hmm. That they sold at one time. It was really cool. He let me go down and look at them because I make tinctures. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I found that thing fascinating. But, you know, and you generally used alcohol to make those tinctures because...
Yes, you did.
You know, it mm-hmm. you draw the essence of the herb or whatever you're using
right.
out.
Right.
But...
Well, the alcohol helps to leach the oils out.
Yes, and that, you know, I've even read that, you know, sometimes the water was so polluted.
So poor, right.
That you wanted to put a little alcohol in it to kill a little bacteria and whatever else
yeah,
was in there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. Well, a lot of times they were storing, back in the days of the Romans, they were actually storing the wine in lead. Contained pottery. They didn't realize the lead would leach out of it with the alcohol, and they all went a little crazy, you know. So A lot of people don't realize that lead was being leached out of the clay pottery.
I never got this book, but I was... Do you remember when you... Before they had the internet, and if you were... You saw a book that you maybe wanted to see if they had an interlibrary loan or even maybe by yourself, you would look in this... What was it called? That big, thick book of books in print?
Oh, yeah. It was the Reader's Digest, wasn't it?
No, this was a reference book that the library had, and it came out, I don't know how often, maybe every year, but books in print. And I had read this article in a magazine about animals that get high on plants, and like, I want to say Pyracantha was one of them, and there were... You know, of course, loco weed, and even, I don't know, Jimson weed. I don't know if you've ever seen Jimson weed, but it's got kind of a spiny seed. So I don't see how they did that, but loco weed was one of them. And, this article said something about, and it referenced a book, but how especially birds... How they go, the fruit that is starting to ferment on the vine or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so
well, it's,
we're not
it's
the
funny
only
that,
ones that do it.
And it's funny that how early man knew what to eat and what not to eat based on watching the animals eat certain things. And if they could eat it and they didn't die, I guess it's okay. But, you know, I mean, we really did watch our wildlife, what they consumed and ate because, you know, if they can handle it, we can handle it.
Have you ever have you heard that Shilajit commercial on RBN? Have you paid attention to that?
No, I have not.
Angry had those guys on her program, and they can I hold?
Yes, you can. Hold on, second hour coming up. Stay tuned.
Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.